This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm assuming that the highlight that you were going to come back with froze on the highlight machine, Denton, right?
Yes, it did. Computer's being wonky.
No worries. Alex Ovechkin had a second period goal. That's what we were going to come back with. That was his second of the night, his 13th in the last 11 games, his 14th and 15th of the season. He leads the NHL in goals, and then he got hurt in the third period. Joining us right now, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline, is Greg Wyshynski, at Wyshynski, W-Y-S-H-Y-N-S-K-I, on X, on Twitter. He is the senior NHL writer at ESPN. We love having Greg on the show to talk hockey. And let's just, for a brief moment, put off the conversation about the injury in the third period, because I just want to hear you describe what we've been watching prior to the injury with this incredible start at 39 years old from the grade eight.
Yeah, it's like he found the fountain of youth. I mean, it's simply one of the most unexpected developments, I think, of the season, with due respect to the juggernaut that is the Winnipeg Jets. It's not so much that he's doing this at his age. It's that he's never done this before at any age. I mean, like, 15 goals in 18 games is something he didn't do when he was 22, when he was 28, when he was 32. And he's doing it now, and that's just remarkable. And then on top of everything else, you know, it's remarkable to think about the Ovi that we saw in the playoffs last year against the Rangers. And, yeah, there was an injury involved. I think the Capitals have pushed back pretty hard on that. But, you know, he was a shell of himself. You had people legitimately wondering if he had hit the wall, if he was going to have enough juice to even get close to the Gretzky record. And then he comes out of the gate like this, 27 goals away, and now it's again become a matter of when and not if for Ovechkin.
Yeah, 27 away from passing Gretzky. On pace, by the way, with his 15 goals in 18 games, for 68 goals, which would be his best season ever. He had 65 in his third season. So on the injury, Tom Wilson ended up fighting this guy McBain, but I'm curious as to what you thought. It didn't seem like a dirty hit, was it? It seemed almost accidental. You know the game. What did we watch there in the collision between the two?
It was two guys going for a loose puck, and I don't think McBain did anything out of sorts to try to go after his knee. I do think it was an accidental collision. You know, the code in the NHL tells you if you are in any way responsible for taking out another team's star player or captain, you're going to have to pay the price. It's why Tom Wilson's on the roster. So, I mean, it's the perfunctory dance that has to happen to show that you can't, quote-unquote, do that to our guy. But anyone who watched the replay could tell that it was sort of an unfortunate, you know, collision, an unfortunate collection of circumstances that sent Ovi out of the game.
What do you think we're going to hear, and by when?
later today. The Capitals told me earlier today that we can expect something later today on his status. I'm sure it's a situation where the swelling has to go down, and then they can check if there's any structural damage with the leg or probably more specifically the knee. And it sucks because, you know, one of the things that I've been most impressed about with Ovi at the start of the season is it's not like it's 15 goals from the Ovi spot. Like, the guy's been flying around the ice, creating offense, scoring in a variety of different ways. And, you know, if this is an injury that any way hinders his whatever speed he's got left, you know, it could certainly impact his impact as a scorer based on how he's been playing this year.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, and you just partially answered it, but why has he been on this goal-scoring tear?
He's in shape. I hate to kind of
Really? That easy?
I mean, he had a great off-season of training, and he had a great off-season of training following a year in Spencer Carberry's first year as coach, where I think everyone would admit that maybe he wasn't in the best shape coming into camp. And he had a great off-season of training. And I also think that there's two other things happening that are a bit more like psychological, and we're going to have to put Ovi on the couch for a second here. You know, the first is that he's got a carrot in front of him. You know, he comes into this season with the opportunity where if he has a great goal-scoring season, he's going to catch Gretzky. He's going to break this record. He's going to be, you know, officially the best goal scorer in the history of the National Hockey League, even though a lot of us believe he is anyway, if you adjust for era. And then the other thing is, you know, I've covered Ovi since he was a rookie. He's a prideful guy. And so, you know, when you have the kind of postseason he had, where his play was detrimental to his team's success, maybe they don't win that series anyway, maybe, but he certainly didn't help. I think he comes back feeling pretty bad about the way that he played and feeling pretty bad about the public perception about where he is in his career. And, you know, that's a huge motivating factor for him.
You're a sports fan beyond just an NHL fan. Put in context, as it relates to other sports records, what passing Gretzky means.
Well, I'm a New York Jets fan, so I can't say that I follow other sports at this moment. But no, I think this record is akin to the Sosa McGuire chase or the Barry Bonds chase. I mean,
you think it's comparable to the home run record?
I do. I really do. I mean, obviously, those you know, those pursuits are a bit more wrought with scandal than I think Ovi's is. But I've been saying for years that when you think about hockey's place in the fabric of sports in the United States, there are very few moments that the sport has to kind of transcend its bubble. One of those is actually coming up later this year with that Four Nations tournament, where you're going to have this collection, this generation of young talents on Canada and the U.S. playing each other for the first time and doing so in a U.S. versus Canada game, where I think on a Saturday night with that game being in Montreal, that's going to be bonkers attention that goes well outside the hockey bubble. And I think the Ovechkin record chase is that same thing. There's, you know, American fans are pretty simple. We like scoring. We like scoring and we like numbers. We like things we can wrap our arms around. We understand who Wayne Gretzky is. We understand what 894 is. We understand who Alex Ovechkin is. And we understand that, you know, breaking a previously considered unbreakable record is something that, as sports fans, we don't often get to see. So when he gets within, like, five, I think the world stops. And I think that, you know, every game then becomes an event in the same way that it became an event when Gretzky, let's say, was chasing Gordie Howe's goal total and point total back in, like, the 80s and 90s.
Yeah, so you see, you know, late, you know, February, March, as we're in that mode of he's, you know, two away, three away, two away, that every single game will be moved to a national televised, you know, format, and if it isn't, they'll be breaking in, that kind of a thing.
Yeah, I mean, I work for a rights holder, so I can't necessarily tell you with any certainty how we're handling the Ovechkin chase, except to say that I know it's a priority. Not only now, but later in the season. But if you remember the home run race and whenever there's a record on
sure.
the line, you know, they would have
yeah.
a little, yeah, they have a little thing in the bottom of the screen saying, you know, what the count is for goals. Maybe, you know, there's a chance to watch every shift. I don't know. There's a million different ways you can take it, but I can guarantee you that, you know, for us and I'm sure for other rights holders, the chance to put the spotlight on Ovechkin and breaking this record is one they're not going to pass up.
Talking to Greg Wyshynski, ESPN senior NHL writer. What do you make of the team's performance so far this year? Surprising, right?
Extremely. I mean, like, I think a lot of us felt surprised when they made the playoff cut last year. I think some of the teams underperforming in the division certainly led to that, but they're legit this year. I mean, they're second in the division in points percentage behind Carolina, who's off to an incredible start themselves. It's kind of amazing. Now, I've drawn this comparison several times between the Capitals and the Penguins, and you know they're kind of linked not only as rivals, but obviously through the Ovechkin-Crosby era. The Capitals being relevant and being salient and being a playoff team in 2024 while the Penguins spin off into oblivion is kind of remarkable. It may be something as simple as having to rebuild a team around one guy versus three guys because, you know, Sidney Crosby wanted to keep playing with Evgeny Malkin and Chris Letang. But you have to give the Capitals credit because, you know, in other situations, trying to find the next phase of a team after Backstrom's injury and Oshie's injury and Kuznetsov's situation where he ends up back in Russia would have been really, really hard. And then you look at Strome and you look at others on this roster and how quickly they've kind of pivoted to the next thing and keeping this team competitive while Ovechkin chases this record is really a testament to smart management and good player acquisition.
You know, I'm pretty sure I've asked you this before, but now that it seems like, you know, knock on wood, that this injury isn't a serious injury, that he's going to eventually become the greatest goal scorer in the history of the game. Where does Ovechkin rank on the list of the greatest players of all time?
Well, to go back to what I said before, like, I think he already is the greatest goal scorer that's ever played. I mean, like, you look at the people that are in the conversation for the best goal scorers of the last, you know, 40 or 50 years, all of them have one thing in common, which is that they played in the 1980s, which is like, you know, pouring nitroglycerin on a fire. I mean, it's like everyone's stats got stupid because of the 1980s. He's had to do it in an era that was a lot more defensive. He's had to do it in an era where the goaltending was of a much higher quality and that the overall talent level was of a much higher quality. I mean, when Gretzky started compiling his points, I don't think we had a Russian in the league. Right, so like it's a completely different landscape and one that I think should be applauded for how good he's been in this era. But you know, to have the record statistically obviously ends all arguments. And as far as what he's been, you know, amongst the best players of all time, look, I mean, he plays more defense than he's given credit for, but by no means is he going to be considered like Crosby is, where it's a 200-foot game and you know his defensive play can be very good and the leadership quality and all this stuff. I think there's still going to be this notion of Ovi being a more one-dimensional player, which, again, I don't think is necessarily fair. I think he's better defensively than people give him credit for. And I also think he's a hell of a lot better playmaker than people give him credit for as well. I'd probably have him higher on my list than most pundits as far as the totality of his game. But I do think that there is going to be this notion of, you know, simply the best goal scorer we've ever seen. And you know, a lot of people just thinking that means he's cranking, you know, shots on the OV spot versus being a total package type player.
But what is the, I mean, for people that don't follow the sport, is that top five? Is that top 10? Is that top 15? Where would it be?
I mean, it's probably top 15 if we're being honest.
Really?
You know, maybe top 10. I honestly don't know.
Crosby ahead of him.
I'd have Crosby ahead of him. I would probably have Gretzky ahead of him. I would have Mario Lemieux ahead of him. I think then you start to get into defensemen like Bobby Orr and Ray Bourque and Nick Lidstrom. I mean, the goal scoring prowess is unmatched. He's the best goal scorer of all time. But I do think that there are better all around players that you could slot ahead of Ovi. And like I said, that I think it underrates parts of his game. But by no means are parts of his game as good as, say, you know, what some of these other guys were able to do during the totality of their careers.
Always great to catch up. Great information. Let's hope he's okay because it's been fun watching him. Greg, thanks. Talk to you soon. Appreciate you doing
Anytime.
It on short notice.
Oh, no worries, man. Anytime. Thanks for having me.
Yep. Greg Wyshynski, everybody, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. We're going to talk to Eric Flack from WUSA Channel 9 at 12:30. For those that missed it, the Senate passed the RFK site bill today. The Senate committee did. There's still another step in the Senate. And then the team in the city would have to agree on a deal, negotiate and agree on a deal. Senator Daines, by the way, had a statement today. We'll talk about that and get you up to speed on that story. And again, Eric Flack will join us 1225, 1230, right around there. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980 and theteam980.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Right now than right here at RFK Stadium, and because we've seen so many great players and so many great games here. And I know
that was John Madden and Pat Summerall back in December of 1996, the final game at RFK Stadium against the Cowboys, a game that was meaningless for both teams because Washington had lost a heartbreaker the week before. It had the potential to be for the NFC East title, but it wasn't. Anybody that came through that place loved it, and it stuck with them, and it did with all of the announcers. Summerall and Madden, in particular, called the biggest games of the Joe Gibbs era at RFK Stadium. Well, early today, if you do not know yet, the site plan, the RFK site plan, passed. It passed in the Senate committee. It needs to be passed by the Senate as a whole, simple majority. Hopefully that gets done over the next 30 days before Congress adjourns. And you get a new Congress, obviously, in January of 2025. And then you turn towards the negotiations between the team and the city and to see if they can work out a deal. The team put out a statement earlier today. Today's result is an exciting and significant step forward for the city of Washington, D.C., as it looks to gain long-term control of the RFK site. The Commanders have been fortunate to have interest from three incredible jurisdictions as we search for a new home and a new stadium. The vote today brings us one step closer towards continuing conversations with D.C. along with Maryland and Virginia as a potential future home for our franchise. You also had Steve Daines, the senator from Montana, who voted yes. He was a big part of holding it up in the committee. He issued a statement today as to why he voted yes today. Quote, 3 years ago this week, Don Wetzel came to my office to share with me his father's legacy and the history behind the famous Washington logo. He had a vision to use the proud symbol to benefit his people. This morning, I spoke to his son, Ryan Wetzel, about the ongoing negotiations and the progress that has been made. I am proud to say, after speaking with my constituents, that they are satisfied with the ongoing negotiations with the team and feel optimistic about the direction that they are heading. Therefore, I will support the bill and vote in favor of its passage out of committee with the condition that the team follows through on the commitments made to the family. I urge the team to continue their dialogue and reach a conclusion that honors their past, honors Don Wetzel's vision to use the logo to help Indian country, and honors the will of the Blackfeet tribe to restore the logo to a place of honor and prominence. That from Senator Daines. We're going to have Eric Flack from WUSA Channel 9 on the show in about 5 minutes. But, you know, a lot of you have suggested that that statement from Daines means that he pulls his vote. I don't know if he can at this point. If the team doesn't use the logo somehow. I don't know. He says honors Don Wetzel's vision to use the logo to help Indian country and honors the will of the Blackfeet tribe to restore the logo to place of honor and prominence. I don't know if that means it's a requirement to put it on a helmet. I don't think it does, because I don't think the team would commit to that right now. But the good news is that it would appear that we're on our way, still a couple of steps, to RFK being open for business. And if, you know, Mitch Rales and Josh Harris, both of whom I think deep down, Mark Ein, would love to get the team back to D.C., a stadium built at that RFK site. You know, we're probably 6 years away from it opening, 5 to 6 years, I would imagine, from it opening. But I'm sure they believe that that would be a big part in bringing a lot of people back. Look, we've always, you know, before the ownership change, it was get rid of Dan, you know, and then when the name changed, get the name back or change whatever it is currently and get a stadium at RFK. And, oh, by the way, start winning, because that's really at the top of the priority list. Dan's gone. They're winning a little bit more than they have in recent years, like a lot more. The best start to a season since 1996, that last season, by the way, at RFK Stadium. And we'll see if the last or the next to last domino can fall, and that being the stadium. We'll talk to Eric Flack from WUSA Channel 9 when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app. So a big step towards bringing the team back to the city, back to the RFK site, was cleared today with the Senate committee passing the RFK site bill with Senator Daines from Montana voting yes. It doesn't mean that it's a done deal that the city will have control of that land. There's still another step. And even if that step passes, I don't know that it's completely clear that the team and the city will work out a deal. But here to kind of give us his thoughts has been a guy that's been covering this for a long time now, and that is Eric Flack from WUSA Channel 9, at Eric Flack TV on X, on Twitter. So let's kind of go through this one step at a time. First, tell everybody what happened today.
Yeah, it was just a couple hours ago, Kevin. The Senate Committee on Energy and Natural Resources, which is where this RFK bill was sitting, actually voted overwhelmingly, which was a surprise to many, 17-2, to pass it out of committee and send it to a full vote, potentially in the Senate. And we'll get to that part of the story in just a second. This is a bill that would give D.C., of course, long-term control of the RFK site, which clears the way for a potential deal with the Commanders for a new stadium and the team's return to D.C. for months there have been questions about whether or not this bill would get out of this Senate committee. It passed overwhelmingly in the House without much controversy or fanfare at all, past the House of Representatives. But once it got to the Senate, politics got involved, and a Montana senator named Steve Daines signaled his opposition because his constituents, a member of the Blackfeet tribe, who one of their ancestors created the old Indian Head Redskins logo, as it was known. And the family actually was very upset and offended that the team has moved away. And in their eyes, not honored it. Daines has picked that up, the senator from Montana, politically, and said, until my constituents, this Blackfeet tribe, are happy, I'm going to oppose this bill. The team has worked to smooth over those relations. They have honored the logo in the club section in a ceremony before the second home game of the year. They've continued to speak with the family, and Daines announced that just this morning he spoke with the grandson of this creator of the old Redskins logo, and he gave his approval that he was satisfied that the team was moving in the right direction and that Daines could, in fact, support this bill. And that's what he did. Really, that was the only discussion. Daines made his dramatic announcement. There was a couple of hushed whispers in the crowd. And everything after that was very positive and jolly. People talking about how great the team is. The chairman of the committee, Joe Manchin, talking about how he used to be friends with Joe Jacoby, or Sam Huff, I think he said, you know, just all big love fest for the Commanders now. The Louisiana senator talking about how the Super Bowl is in New Orleans and they expect to see Jaden Daniels there. And we all love each other, and it passed the Senate committee overwhelmingly 17-2. The problem is now it gets sent to the full Senate, and there is right. No clear-cut path right now for how it's going to get that approval.
All right, let's get to that in a moment. I just have one more question about Senator Daines, because in his statement, Eric, he said, I'll support the bill and vote in favor of its passage out of committee with the condition that the team follows through on the commitments made to the family. You've described some of the things that have been done. What are the other commitments that the team has made to Daines and the Wetzel family?
That's unclear. I mean, I think Daines even referenced that he has been told that they are not bringing back this logo. They're just not bringing it back. It is just a politically not feasible. You might as well say, I want the logo of the Commanders' alternate jerseys to be a unicorn. It's just not going to happen in the day and the time and where the NFL is on these sorts of sensitive issues of race and relations. So all of that, and I've talked to Blackie Wetzel's grandson, Ryan Wetzel, as well. And he does kind of respect the privacy of the Commanders' conversations. He's always respected it with me. There are things that I've asked that he has not said. So I think it's unclear what those commitments are. I can tell you that from where I'm sitting, if people think that we're going to have some alternate uniforms with the old Indian Head Redskins logo, as far as everything I've been told, that's not going to happen. So whatever those commitments are made to continually honor the memory of and the contributions of his grandfather who created this logo and the contributions to the team and its history, we will have to see, but those have not been made public as far as I know.
All right. Eric Flack from WUSA joining us. All right. So it's through the Senate committee. Now it goes to the Senate. Talk about that in detail in terms of when does it get voted on? How does it get voted on? Simple majority, 60 of the 100, and then the likelihood of it passing there.
Yeah, well, so I talked to a source really close to this situation right after the hearing. And look, there are 9 working days. So their Congress is in session 9 more days before
just
they adjourn.
9 more because 9 of the Thanksgiving holiday, and then right. They adjourn in early December, you're saying.
It's December 20th, but they don't work every single day. So there are 9 working days left in this session. And the reality is that is just not enough time for this bill to get a standalone hearing. It's just not. So if you wanted to have a hearing just on the RFK bill, where we could talk about the merits and the opposition and the support, you know, that's not going to happen, which leaves a political process, which is known as inserting the bill, the RFK legislation, into a larger bill. And this happens all the time on Capitol Hill and with our political system, where smaller bills will get inserted into larger bills that have to be voted on, i.e. a spending bill. Spending bills for the federal government, to fund the federal government, funding bills, things, transportation bills, things that have to be done. You can attach smaller bills into that process as long as it has the approval. And there can be a vote to remove it or to leave it in there. And so the vote happens on the spending bill, on the transportation bill, on the big bill. But as a rider to that bill, all these smaller bills are also by proxy approved. And that
right,
is
but it's a bill that is going to be voted on in these last correct. 9 working days.
That is correct. That is correct. The bill,
and it's got to be a bill that they're confident will pass.
Well, it's all the bills that we're talking about are going to pass on after
okay.
negotiation.
Okay, like, so the insertion of this is into a bill that's going to pass.
Correct. At some point, it is going to pass once they negotiate the spending package, once they negotiate the transportation package, these smaller bills. The problem is you can't just insert it. The sponsor of the bill has to agree to allow it as a rider. So leadership kind of
versus
on one
a
side
standalone
or the other. Correct. And so that's the process now. And it's up to basically the people who support this on the Senate side, those 17 votes, but more specifically in this committee, the people who worked on that. And I'm still trying to figure out exactly who worked on that. I know the chair, Joe Manchin from West Virginia, who's a big commander's guy, a big kind of local guy, because, you know, he's very close to D.C., was very much in favor of it, and he's a powerful senator. It would be up to Manchin to work with his, contacts, the senators that he's working with, to get it inserted into a bill. But I talked to somebody, that, again, a source very close to the situation, who told me today, what happened today, moving it out of committee, that was a big step. That was a really big step. It is not the biggest step. The biggest step, the biggest challenge is still to come, and they have 9 days to do it.
Okay, so just so everybody understands, the reason that the time frame's so tight is we have a new Congress coming in January of 2025, a completely different Senate than the one we have right now. And so 9 working days. So it sounds to me like you think the possibility of a standalone vote is slim and none. That the way to get this through.
Yes. Go ahead.
No. So is that true?
Yes. I'm sorry to cut you off. No, I mean,
no, it's fine.
There's really nothing more to be said. Yeah. No,
yeah.
I mean, the people.
So
who
now
are
it's got to be inserted.
This,
it's got to be inserted into a bill in the next 9 working days. So what percentage possibility, what percentage do you give that, do you give to that happening?
I think it's 50-50. I really do. And I'm doing that reading the people who are working on this that are close to the situation. There is nobody from the Washington Commanders behind the scenes who are spiking the ball and celebrating this. The mayor's office, the mayor's, you know, Beverly Perry, who's special counsel to the mayor, who is the point person in the mayor's office, who I've been told is working on this with the commanders. She is the point person for Mayor Bowser to work on this stadium deal. She gave a very positive, you know, reaction. They're very excited. Of course, it's a big deal. Again, I don't want to minimize. It's a big deal. If it had not gotten out of committee, it would have been dead today. So it lives on. So that's a big deal. But the politics of getting this thing, which outside of D.C., nobody really cares about. Keep that in mind, that outside of Washington, D.C., D.C., Maryland, and Virginia, nobody really cares about this. Getting this inserted into a bigger bill is going to be a challenge. And if it does not happen, then it's like an etch-a-sketch. The new Congress comes in, but all the bills that were, yeah, I'm sorry, I'm being too loud in the Senate gallery. All the bills that were being considered, they all go away. You start it over. You start it over next year, and then the team would have to decide whether or not they are going to try and wait another year to try and get this through Or are they going to move forward with Maryland or Virginia? Because you're already talking about 2030. It's just math. You push it back a year, now we're talking 2031, and it's still no guarantee.
Yeah, you know, also, and you said you're not necessarily sure of the 17 yeses, right? It was 17-2, I think you said, who actually were kind of the major pushers or sponsors. I'd wonder, of those 17 senators that voted yes, how many are returning to the Senate in January?
Actually, it's a good point, because the one of the no votes was Senator Mike Lee of Utah. Under Republican control, he is going to be the chair of the committee, the Senate Energy and Natural Resources Committee, which would have to, the bill would have to go through that committee again. And now you're having a Republican chair who was the one who was saying, okay, well, if we're going to give this valuable land to D.C., they're going to pay us for it, which, you know, he never introduced that amendment. But that's what he believes. He believes that they should not be giving a land away to D.C., that if D.C. wants the land, they have to buy it, which creates a whole nother, like, you know, Pandora's box of challenges with the team coming home. So, again, if you push it into another session and the commanders, you know, the Trump administration is going to be unpredictable. The Republican-controlled Congress is going to be unpredictable. Could be good, could be bad. We just don't know. I mean, we just honestly don't know. But it's such an unknown. Are they really going to push it back on the off chance that it may be better next year? Or at some point, do they wave the white flag and say, you know, business sense, this just is throwing good money after bad as far as just time and effort, and it's time to move forward with something else. And I don't think any of those decisions have been made. I think right now it is about this push to the finish, and can they get this bill attached into a spending bill and get it approved.
Yeah, I didn't even think about it from the, you know, who would chair that Senate committee, but it obviously would be a Republican. And then what I was thinking more, Eric, was how many of these senators are exiting stage right here on December 20th, never to see the Senate again, and just there's no urgency to get, you know, anything done. There's no real incentive, or maybe there is. I don't know. I'll tell you what, if it doesn't get inserted into a bill, and we're talking about another, you know, next, you know, this Republican Congress, you know, it's going to fall back on Daines for holding it up as long as he did, don't you think?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, the problem with Daines holding it up, going back to the summer, I looked over some of my reporting, which dates back to the summer. You know, you passed this thing, it sailed through the House of Representatives.
Right,
Kevin.
We thought it was over. We thought it was a done deal.
We all thought it was a done deal. And politics got involved out of nowhere. We should have expected it, but I don't think anybody did. And now there's no time to get the standalone here. I think from what I saw out of this committee, for the most part, people don't care. They're fine. They would have been fine to, like, as a body. Bernie Sanders voted against it because, you know, he doesn't want to help out a billionaire. And you know, Mike Lee voted against it because he doesn't agree with the idea of, like, giving away, like, land and they should charge it. But all those things could have been worked out if it could have gotten a standalone hearing. But there's just no time anymore. And it's a shame that it's come down to this, to use a football, like, cliche, this Hail Mary, to try and get this bill inserted at the 11th hour.
But you think it's 50-50. Those aren't Hail Mary odds.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. But, you know, Kevin, I'm just handicapping the best I can.
Right.
You know, I'm just reading the room of people who are working their tails off, but no, this is far from a done deal. But they also are saying it's not impossible. You know, so you're saying there's a chance. You know, there's a chance.
Wouldn't it be interesting, before I get to the next thing, which is if it's inserted into a bill? Look, I think I understand that if it doesn't get done in these last nine working days, you've added a year to the process, and Josh Harris and Mitch Rales and company become almost less interested. I also wonder, with a Republican Senate, it's already passed in the House. When you say Etch-a-Sketch, it doesn't have to go through the House again, does it?
Yeah, it does. It's a new bill.
Oh, it is. It's a new bill altogether.
You start from scratch. Huh. Yeah, you start from scratch. Yeah, that's the problem.
Am I wrong to believe that a Republican Congress, House, even with their very slight majority, you know, whatever, 221, 214 or whatever it is, and the Senate majority that they have, that there may be more interest in getting it done with a Republican Congress versus a Democratic Congress or not? I mean, your explanation of what Mike Lee would be looking for makes sense. They'll want people to pay for things rather than giving them away. But they give away, as you've told me in the past, a lot of land the Department of Interior has for, you know, public parkland, for, you know, monuments, et cetera. It happens all the time.
Yeah, and keep in mind, I don't think you're wrong. Keep in mind that the sponsor of the House version of this bill, which is where it was introduced,
right,
was a Republican, a powerful,
yes,
Republican, James Comer from Kentucky.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, no, I don't think you're wrong in any way, shape, or form. And like I said, it had bipartisan support in the House. It had bipartisan support in the Senate committee. I don't think support at this point is an issue. I think that, like, how the sausage is made is the issue at this point. I think it's all about getting the vehicle to get it into a bill that's going to be voted on. And that's the rub right now.
How many bills are going to be voted on in the last 9 days? Do you know?
I don't know, but they're all major. They're all big bills. You know, they're no small bills. They're all overreaching bills, and they all have to do with the functionality of the federal government. They always wait until the last second to get these bills done. And then in the, like, final days, they pass all these critical spending bills that literally are the backbone of how our country, like, runs, you know, financially.
Eric Flack from Channel 9 joining us. So I wanted to just get to the last hammer that needs to fall, and that is, all right, I think everybody understands what happened today. I think Eric did a really good job of explaining what's next. And by the way, it's certainly not a foregone conclusion with 9 working days left with this, you know, lame duck Congress. They can't really do a standalone vote on what the Senate committee just passed. They have to insert this into a bill that will be voted on in the next 9 working days. And that's far from a foregone conclusion. But let's assume for a moment that it does happen and it does get into a bill that passes, and hooray, they've got the land for the next 99 years to do with it what they want to do with it. The last hurdle is negotiating a deal with the team, and that's certainly not a, you know, a given, right?
Yeah, but I don't know, Kevin, and I'm just reading a room here, and I, you know, I pay a lot of close attention to this, which means I talk to a lot of people. I just have the sense that that is actually the smallest hurdle at this point.
Okay.
Like, I really, really do. Like, I think that there is, I mean, you have the freaking mayor's top lieutenant, like, sitting in the, like, the crowd, like, celebrating that this deal gets done. I understand they say they want the land regardless to do with it for some reason or another, but everybody knows this about the stadium. They've, as we talked about, they've spent, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars 2 different times to do studies on how to pay for the stadium. I mean, they've already spent so much money trying,
right,
to devise how this is going to be done. There's already such a movement to, you know, bring the team back to D.C. that, like, in this case, the biggest thing may be the smallest thing. Figuring out how to pay for it, to me, seems like such a actual smaller obstacle at this point in the process than actually getting the permission and clearance to build the stadium there in the first place. I could be wrong. We've talked about the city's money shortage, but, I mean, they are literally hiring people to tell them how to figure out how to, like, you know, print more money or create more money or create more room or cap space, as it were, to pay for a portion, enough of this stadium. And again, have Josh Harris and the Commanders behind closed doors, off the record, set the, and with the D.C. set parameters.
Right.
If you can come up with $1 billion, if you can come up with just enough money, this will be good enough. So that
makes sense.
You just wonder what's going on behind closed doors.
Great job. Thank you for doing this. I know you're so busy. Eric, I'll talk to you soon.
No, I appreciate it, Kevin. Thank you so much.
Eric Flack from WUSA Channel 9. There you go. 9 working days left to get this inserted into a bill that will be voted on and approved. And if that happens, Eric thinks that last piece is somewhat, you know, already there in terms of the city figuring out how they can come up with, you know, somewhere around $1 billion to contribute to the development of the RFK site, which would, of course, include a brand new stadium. If this doesn't get inserted into a bill, do they wait? You know, does Harris and Rails and do they sit around and wait for the next Congress to start over from scratch, which could take, you know, another year? I don't know. That would be an interesting situation. But what you want is you want this thing inserted into a bill in the next 9 days. Sounded like the standalone vote is a long shot at best. Yeah. All right. Eric joined us courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Denton, you had a little news for the show.
Before I get to that, though, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Do you feel more optimistic or less optimistic given some of the stuff that he just told us about how you only have 9 days, it's not going to be standalone, and they kind of, for lack of a better term, they have to force this into actually happening, it feels like.
Yeah, that happens all the time, you know, and he explained it. You know, things get attached as a rider to an existing bill. I think it gets done. I think somehow it gets done. You know, his point that a lot of these people couldn't care less, this is not a priority for them like it is for people here in the area. Look, they're here for a big portion of the year. They understand this little piece of legislation and what it would mean to the DMV. Not everybody does, but my guess would be that it would get passed here by the Senate, whether it's an insertion into an existing bill that gets voted on and approved, or whether or not they figure out how to do a quick standalone vote to get, you know, the votes passed. I definitely agree with him that I would be concerned if it doesn't happen in these last, you know, working days before they adjourn and a new Congress comes in. Because how long do you want to wait? And then the uncertainty of the future with respect to not only the Senate, but the House as well, because you've got to clean the slate and start all over. Now you're into 2031 before this thing opens. Gross. And it's very possible that Maryland's offer is a more attractive offer anyway, from a financial standpoint for the team, you know, and they own the land, remember, you know, beyond 2027. And yes, they can play in that stadium beyond 2027. It was just a guarantee that they would play at least through 2027. All right. Chris Russell, Doc Walker on standby. They're coming up tomorrow. We'll get back to football. Kevin Sheehan Show. Have a good day.
From you, but
this holiday, BMW has reunited 3 members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric I4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.